I think it's fair to say that for many of you've had something of a hard year, particularly since March. And as we're entering into December and the whole Advent period and Christmas and so on, people are looking for something a little bit light, perhaps a little bit sweet, something a little bit to cheer them up. So I've decided that over the next few weeks, we will be focusing in these messages on some of your favorite treats. Now, today we're going to be looking at galaxy and Milky Way. Next Sunday, it will be family circle. On the carol service day, that's the 20th of December, we will be looking at heroes. On Christmas Day, it will be time for celebrations. And on Sunday, the 3rd of January, we will be doing Quality Street. Now, what might be interesting is if you actually tried to guess, maybe in your own mind, but maybe plan some of those sermons, work out what you reckon I'm going to say. That'd be quite a challenge for you. And if you really want, I could send you the list of the treats that are coming up, so you can be thinking ahead. Now, you may say, as a pastor, that's very indulgent, isn't it? Talking about sweets and chocolates for the next month or so. Well, yes, it is indulgent in a sense, but I'm not actually going to be giving you the chocolates or the sweets. So unless you provide some for yourself, it won't be that indulgent. So today we're talking about galaxy or Milky Way. Now, you might ask the question, how do you preach a sermon on galaxy or Milky Way? And well, I wondered that question too. Now, I thought about phoning our very own scientist, David Warrilow, and he could have explained to me what all these words mean: galaxy, Milky Way, stars, and so on. And then I thought to myself, I ought to be modern. Why talk to a real person when you can Google it? So this is what I found online. So galaxies are the largest formations or groups of individual stars that we know. All the stars we see in the night sky are part of a huge family of stars which form our galaxy, called the Milky Way, or the galaxy with a capital G. We see the nearest stars to us as individual stars, but as we look at those further away, they tend to merge into the fuzzy glow of the Milky Way. Now, this effect, for those of you who go in the forest, is rather similar to standing in a pine forest. The trees nearest to us can be seen individually, but those in the distance fade into the mass of trees. So, when you look up at the sky at night and you are looking at the galaxy, you are looking at the Milky Way, not the galaxy and the Milky Way that Uncle Bob bought you for Christmas because he couldn't think of anything more original to put with your £20 note. No, when you are looking at the multitude of stars in the night sky, can you think of someone who was told by God in the Bible to look up at the galaxy, to look up at the Milky Way? The answer, of course, is Abraham. And we find the account of Abraham and he's staring at the Milky Way, the galaxy, that is in Genesis chapter 15, starting in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. God then took Abraham outside and said, look up at the sky, that is the galaxy or the Milky Way, and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So, what lesson can we learn from the galaxy or the Milky Way? What can we gain that is far sweeter than a chocolate treat and more wonderful than offspring as numerous as the stars in the sky? As Abraham gazed at the stars, as he let his eyes survey the galaxy, as he contemplated the Milky Way, something happened in his heart. Something changed deep inside him. Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. The galaxy, the Milky Way, those stars in the sky, they must have seemed a million miles away, far flung, way out there in outer space. And what else could have seemed far flung, far-fetched even, and just a distant possibility? Surely for Abraham, the idea that an elderly couple, Abraham and his wife Sarai, the idea that they could have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. But Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. God is calling us to believe in him. Children and young people, God is calling you to believe in him. And older people too. God is calling you to believe in him, even in the middle of this COVID-19 event. He loves you. Will you believe in him? And now we move into part two of our message this morning. As Abraham gazed at the stars, as he let his eyes survey the galaxy, and as he contemplated the Milky Way, something happened in his heart. Something changed deep inside him. The Bible tells us that Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. The fact that Abraham believed, even though it took a lot of faith to believe, that changed everything for him. And that was the basis of his relationship with God. But he could not see his descendants. He could not see his offspring that would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. But God had told Abraham, and Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. So what about you? What about me? What about us? Now, here's a question for you. Would you like to do something amazing for God? Maybe we can have a show of hands. Would you like to do something amazing for God? Yeah, there's a few hands up. Would you like to do some great work for him? Some amazing job for God that would make him happy? What would that work be? What would it entail? Now, the answer may be a lot easier than you expected, and at the same time, a lot harder than you expected. And we find the answer in the Bible, because some people asked Jesus this exact question, and Jesus answered this very same question. Please have a look at me, have a look with me in John chapter 6. I've put the broader context on the screen, but I'm just going to look at verses 28 and 29 this morning. John chapter 6 and verse 28. These people that came to Jesus, they asked him, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" And Jesus answered them, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." How did he feel about their question? And how did you react to Jesus' answer? If we are really honest, the answer is easier than we often imagine, and it is harder than we often imagine. Believing in Jesus is work. Jesus tells us so. But if we ask God, he can help us even in this. He can give us faith. We often say that grace is a gift from God, and that is absolutely true. But the verse that tells us that from Ephesians also says that faith is a gift from God. Have a look with me, please, in Ephesians 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. You know this part of it, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith." Grace through faith, and this, the grace and the faith, this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So please, my friends, later today or over Christmas, when you rip open a galaxy or a Milky Bar, or when you look up at the sky and you see the galaxy and the Milky Way, please remember Abraham, who looked up at the stars in the sky and took God at his word. Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. And he wants to save us too, by his grace, through faith. And this is a gift from him. Amen.